Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is a report for today. It is Monday, July 11th, 2022. I tell you, a lot of information to go through. You know, America is engaged in World War III. We are involved in World War III. And the fact is this, you're either going to be a participant or a casualty. That's my view on this. With me, this segment is Randy Taylor. And coming up will be John Moore. But I got to tell you something right now. We are at a crossroads, and you better decide. Folks, you're going to have to decide whether you are going to fight or you're going to lay down and roll over and play dead. And if you decide to do the latter, the leaders, the people who pull the strings, are going to have their way with you. I've got to tell you, I spent this weekend just going over information and looking back to see how all of this was put together. You go back to the COVID time, the Rockefeller Foundation. Interestingly, I'm going to be showing you a document about the Reset the Table report, predicted COVID-related food crisis 2 years before it happened. You've got the same names. Now, my question is, why are these mopes still sucking air? That's what I want to know. And why are they still allowed to be engaged in our activities? You got 535 Muppets plus an executive branch that are, well, the Muppets do nothing. The 535, they put on a good show. I mean, Jim Jordan, Rand Paul, they all put on a good show. But what has become of all of this? I want to know that. By the way, I want to tell you, the World War III in which we find ourselves today, this is asymmetrical warfare. I don't know if you heard this. Steve Bannon got swatted last week. Did you hear that? Doing his show. You don't understand. There are a lot of conservative broadcasters who are under fire. And I'm going to put a period there. Just understand, this comes at a price. This information comes to you at a price. But you better get off your asses, collectively and individually. And you better pick a side. And you better start fighting. Meanwhile, Stuart Rhodes, who I've met with and had lunch with, and people say, well, he's a traitor, he's this, he's that. Look, I've spoken with the guy. I've had lunch with him. I've had actually had dinner with him numerous times. He wants to testify live before this sham committee to challenge the pack of lies. Now, again, I don't care what you think of this man. If it was you, you'd be crying. I guarantee you, if it was you in jail as a January 6th political prisoner being mistreated, you'd want someone on your side. Yet we've forgotten about the January 6th prisoners, haven't we? A lot of us have. What are we doing about this? What are the 535 Muppets doing about this? Or at least some of them. Oh, again, they put on a good show. We'll get them out. This is terrible. We'll do something. Our Department of Justice is corrupt. Is as corrupt as could be. And as far as I'm concerned, the FBI, they can go suck it. Every single one of them can go suck it. FBI, done. Intelligence community, done. The 51, whatever you want to call them, whatever number you want to use. Intelligence community, the spies, lied their asses off. Lied their asses off about the Russian collusion and about everything else. And you know, the media embraces these lies and peddles them, and social media peddles these lies as truth. Well, enough of this crap. And Elon, my big thing, Elon Musk, see, he's not going to buy Twitter. Well, when it comes at, you know, 30% of the assets of Twitter are bots. Yeah, okay. Musk is, look, I'm not a fan of Musk. Believe me, I'm not. I'm not. But if he can expose Twitter for the sewage pit that it is, and the leftist intelligence community honeypot that it is, good for him. I'm going to show you this real quick and then bring Randy Taylor on. Randy's going to watch this too. You know, under attack by the Rockefeller Foundation, under attack by Bill Gates, under attack by the World Economic Forum, under attack by many corporate interests here in the United States, under attack is our food supply, our power supply, fuel, all of this. As Americans are going about their business with their heads so far up their rectal openings that they can't see what's going on. And frankly, look, I'm pretty much done. If you're watching this, God bless you. Thank you. If you're just coming on board watching this or listening to this on the various venues that we have, that we fight to keep, by the way, and you're still unsure of this, well, do your own research. What's happening over in the Netherlands with the farmers? This is a global war. This is a global war that was, in my view, and I'm going to get Randy Taylor's view on this, but when Donald Trump won the presidency in 2016, that threw the globalists into this absolute tizzy. It ruined their plans because they had it all locked up with Hillary. Hillary was going to do the bidding for the globalists. This was supposed to happen 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Didn't happen. Donald Trump came in. Like him, hate him, I don't care. Again, I don't. Anyone I mention, I don't care if you like or don't like. I'm just telling you the facts. Facts are this. He came in. And by the way, he made a lot of mistakes. And I don't know if he's uninformed. I hope that's the case about the shots. The guy, Donald Trump, promoting the shots. I hope he's uninformed. But he better damn well get informed, because there's going to be mass deaths coming from the shots, the boosters, the unexplained deaths. The insurance company is saying, hey, wait a minute, we're having excess deaths. But this is all part of the plan. They had this all planned out back in the aughts. And before that. But now, our food supply is under attack. Three things I want to show you this first video clip. 3 minutes in length. This is from, not the entirety, but from a report by Greg Reese, bandit.video. Link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Let's play it. I think it's video 2. Let's play it.
But not everyone has gone insane. Some still have a survival instinct. When the Dutch government voted in a scheme that will force farmers to cut their livestock down to unsustainable levels, thereby forcing them out of work and shutting down the second biggest food exporter in the world, the farmers did the right thing and said no. And protests have broken out all throughout the Netherlands. Shutting down the world's second biggest food exporter is all part of the anti-human zero emissions plan. And so the Dutch farmers aren't just protesting losing their jobs, they are protesting the mass murder of the world's population. Just like the Canadian truckers and farmers did last winter, and just like the Canadian police sided with the tyrants, the Dutch cops are doing the same. Police drawing their sidearms on peaceful protesters and opening fire on them.
Nee, hey, wapens, jongen, wapens. Hey, holla, rij weg, jongen, rij weg.
Zo, hier omheen maar wapens.
Kanker, mijn god!
using undercover agents and provoking violence to shut down peaceful gatherings. Because the globalists are not taking no for an answer. And while you may back the blue, chances are that they won't back you when it comes to the globalist agenda, which has now enlisted A-list celebrities to convince us all to eat bugs.
I'm Nicole Kidman, and I am going to eat a four-course meal of bugs.
They're trying to persuade us into dying.
I'm just going to say this. I'll bet you that's not the most objectionable thing that's been in her mouth. Go ahead.
Dying peacefully, like good, obedient slaves. But soon, the food will start to run out. And worse, more signs of kinetic world war on the horizon as Japan's longest-standing Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is assassinated. And former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev joins President Putin in threatening nuclear annihilation if the United States continues their provocations. Which is exactly what the Extinction Rebellion wants. And it's what the Biden administration wants. It's what everyone in charge wants. The only way out of this is a worldwide people's revolution. The Dutch farmers have begun, and they have been joined by people from other nations. The revolution will not be televised. And if you want to stand up against evil, then now is the time, while you are still alive.
All right, Randy Taylor, you got the floor. What do you think?
I think it's just the world's gone nuts, man. You know what? I'm proud of the Dutch farmers.
I am too.
I really am. That's not a huge amount of people. Okay.
And somehow you found this. I don't know how you found this. I didn't see. I missed this. Okay.
This is great.
This takes balls. Go ahead.
I would put that on my wall. The Dutch farmers stole a fighter jet. A local air base over there. And that's not the only plane they stole. I saw them taking Lear jets. They didn't play. And I love it. Out there in a John Deere tractor. That's American, baby. John Deere tractor pulling wood. I can't even tell what kind of plane that is, what model it is, but it's amazing that they were able to go in and take a fighter jet. Now, can you imagine, Doug? Can you imagine for 1 second if that had happened in the U.S.? A bunch of patriots had stormed an air base and taken a fighter jet. They would be murdering us in our homes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look what they've done over this incident on January 6th. Which
yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that was that. Yeah. And I'm sorry. As far as I'm concerned, in the broad spectrum of things, it was piddly.
Yeah.
It was really piddly when you really measure it and look at everything compared to what they're trying to sell everybody with these phony hearings. Like this was some horrible insurrection. If it'd been an insurrection, we would have showed up armed and we would have turned the government back over to you when we felt like it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you they would know. And by the way, Revolver, Darren Beatty, others coming out with exclusive reports that Proud Boys, the whole situation there, they were infiltrated for the six, and it was but the FBI that let them or prompted them to do things. Meanwhile, they're saying, let's clean up and get out of here. Now the FBI is pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. Go ahead, sir.
On the sixth, and I'm just, there should not be anybody still sitting in jail because of the sixth. Every one of those people should have been released. No one, they shouldn't have been arrested to begin with. That's where we really should have stepped on the government. We should have went down there and got our people out of jail. That would have sent a strong message.
Well, they're still there, some of them, yeah. And they're still having their rights trampled on. So,
but this and what happened to due process, right to a speedy trial? What happened to all of that? What happened to all that? There's people that saw crack can make it in and out of a courtroom in 30 days. What's the problem here?
Right.
You know, and I don't know, but you know what? We've spoken about this at least a dozen times. this is a worldwide thing. This isn't just about the United States. Please, you got to get that out of your head. Okay. It's not just the United States. This crap, this agenda is going on worldwide. And right now, it's hit an accelerated pace. They're trying to get a bunch of stuff done before 2030. And folks, 8 years isn't a lot of time. But the way they threw the shot at us, and that was going into the kill mode. Okay, all these other things. And look at it, the food shortages, that's designed to kill. The shot, that's designed to kill. All these different things they're doing are designed to kill. Now, when somebody says, I want to kill you, that makes things pretty serious. That's not like, you know, when I see you, I'm going to slap the pee out of you. That's not like that. These are people bent and determined to kill you, your family members, your children, your grandchildren. They're on a course that they don't intend to curb. It's only going to accelerate. And we have to decide when and where we say that's enough. Now, bearing in mind, we've got the elections coming up. Right now, the projection is, I saw an interesting piece on Fox this morning, Congress, we shouldn't have a problem with conservatives taking over Congress. The Senate is a toss-up. So I said, we've got to get out and vote. Got to get out and vote. I know the system's broken, but it's the only thing we have to work with right now. If you sit home, you will certainly lose. You cannot be complacent. And please don't do like people did. A lot of people did at the election with Trump. Assume that enough people showed up that the battle was won.
Yep.
Don't do that. Don't do that. If they said that Joe Biden managed 80 million votes, which we know is a lie, okay? Just imagine if every conservative actually got out there and voted, what the numbers would really look like. Sadly, and this is sad, and one of the reasons we have our problems today is because only about half of the country's showing up and voting anyway. You know what I'm saying? Our registered, right. the people that are capable of making change and making positive things happen are sitting home on their collective asses doing nothing on election day, yep. Assuming that the votes are in. You can't assume. Look what happened. We didn't have enough votes to overturn what they were doing. I mean, there comes a point where if it's overwhelming, it doesn't matter how much they cheat, it's not going to work. There comes that point.
Exactly.
I firmly, mathematically, if you sit down and just, that's a mathematical problem. And everything in life falls back to math. I hope you figured that out by now. Everything falls out and falls back to math.
And that's truer than people realize, by the
and
way.
They don't. Yeah, they don't. You're right, Doug. And you know, as an investigator.
Creation, mathematics and frequency. Go ahead. Continue. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
But you're absolutely right. And the thing is, if we do it enough, we hit them hard enough on voting day, okay, they won't have any choice but to put out the correct stuff. I don't think there's going to be near as much cheating at the midterms or the next presidential election as there has been in the past. Now, if we can get a good Congress in there and get a good Senate in there, think of the voting laws that could be changed.
Right.
Just stop and think about that. There's a whole lot of wins with getting the right people in these offices.
Okay, but let me ask you a question though. Okay, because
yes,
if these satanic morons out there, these evil bastards that are running things, if they believe that we can accomplish this through voting, do you think that they're going to allow this to happen? Allow us to get in there and make the changes, coloring within the lines. By the rules, do you think they're going to allow this to happen?
They're going to fight it tooth and nail, but sooner or later, something has to give. You put enough pressure on a pimple, it's going to pop.
Right, and it's going to pop all over them,
yes.
Those pussy creatures, because we are going to, we'll pop it.
We just got to start hitting them from every side. What we were talking about before, where we're really weak on the right, okay, yep. Is we don't mobilize like the left can do. You saw the bounty system they put out there?
Yep.
I don't remember the numbers exactly. I think it was like $50.
$250 if it's within 30. So yeah, just so people understand.
And this is like it's normal. They act like this is some normal thing you would do in a political world.
So if you see what the offer was, if you see a Supreme Court justice, four of them, you know, the four, five, maybe conservatives in quotation marks, out dining anywhere, out in public anywhere, you turn in this tip, and if they stay there for 30 minutes, that gives people time to organize and go. Then you get $250
if they're still there at 30.
Right.
If the agitators and provocateurs can get there fast enough,
yep,
in that 30-minute time frame, it's like the free pizza from Domino's. You know, you win, you get an extra. But think about this: it's a bounty system. Justices.
But the Department of Justice does friggin' nothing. Garland's got his.
And he's breaking federal law.
Yeah.
Garland is breaking federal law by not providing the protections necessary. These justices, no one, and I don't care what anybody says, realistically, you're not allowed out in front of their houses.
The law
says that's right. You're trying to influence a judge's decision.
Correct.
You cannot do that. You cannot do that. Honestly, and this is just me, I honestly think that judges should be in a walled off community somewhere with guards. I'm serious.
Well,
that's how sad it is.
In a perfect world, we wouldn't have to do that.
I know. Well, here's the thing. Ethics, if you haven't figured it out yet, the left has no ethics.
Nada.
Scruples. They just don't have these things. And our problem is we try and always take the high road. The conservatives do. I don't know that that's necessarily always the answer.
No,
I've always believed fight fire with fire.
Yep.
But bring more fire. Have more fire than the other guy.
If it was the answer, the J6 political prisoners would be out. That really hacks me off that they're still there. Okay. We would have reforms, voting reforms, long time ago. We wouldn't even be having this discussion right now if we. We need to, like you said, fight fire with fire. I'm going to show you something here. This is how they're killing us, okay?
Yes.
Page 2. This is a zoomable map, okay? Folks, take a look at this map of the United States. Now, you can go at the link, HagmanReport.com. You can expand this. The black markers are for food, I believe, the food hubs that were sabotaged, fires. This is abnormal, okay? People say things happen at locations all the time, or, hey, these are minor incidents, whatever. But there is a pattern here, and Randy Taylor is involved in pattern recognition. I'm involved in this. Okay, there's a pattern here. They are killing us. They want to destroy our infrastructure. And, of course, Nicole Kidman, you know, eating bugs, whatever, that's fine. Okay, you want to eat bugs, eat bugs. You think, but look, folks, go to this link and take a look at all of these incidents that happen. They're trying to kill us. And, of course, if you can go to one more thing, let's go to page 1 and then.
And just to add to that,
go ahead.
What we're seeing on that map, sure, these things happen. They've been happening forever. But this is suddenly happening at a very accelerated rate.
Yes.
Okay. And no viable explanations as to the who, what, where, and why. And nobody's really looking into it, which really should concern, you know, the federal government that wants to protect you.
Right.
That should concern them. That should have them up at night. There should be unbelievable investigations going on right now, and they're just turning their back on it. The FBI no longer is the Federal Bureau of Investigation. It is nothing but different lettered FSB, just like they used over in Russia for years.
Yep. And they're rubbing it in their faces.
Yeah. And folks, this is fixing to get real serious real fast. I don't think a lot of people are understanding. When you go to the grocery store, do yourself a favor. Grab a couple canned goods. Stay on the shelf. Do it every time you go to the store, because there's going to come a point, and I hate to say this, you have to think hurricane. Bear in mind, I'm from Florida. Think hurricanes. You have suddenly nothing, you know. I don't know if you saw what happened up there in Canada when Rogers, their largest wireless provider, went down the other day.
Yeah. Do you know anything about that?
Canada shut down. Debit.
Right.
There was no debit capabilities whatsoever. In fact, some of the banks couldn't dispense money.
That's a scary thought.
People up here were flipping out. And it's like, you haven't seen anything. I mean, we used to go through the hurricanes. You had 2 weeks where you couldn't get your hands on cash. You couldn't get your hands on food or anything for that matter. Folks, be smart. Start stocking up on things. Okay, for now, just do canned goods. I'm serious. Just do yourself. You know why? You could lose your job next week and the canned goods will come in handy. That's what I always said about hurricane supplies. Think like a hurricane, but use it for anything. There's nothing wrong with being prepared. Okay, and I'm going to suggest that you do. I'm just going to suggest that you do. There's more coming, and it just hates to be a grave Monday morning, but there's more coming than you can even possibly fathom.
That's very true. And it's
really got us thinking. There's going to be some shifting gears.
I think it's time. And look, you and I have spoken about this off air, and I think it's time for the conservatives, for you and I to, when I say you and I, I'm talking about anyone listening.
Collectively.
Did you just say lock and load? Is that what you?
No, collectively.
Collectively.
No. Yeah, don't say lock and load. They'll be down there arresting me for that.
I was going to say lock and load, to be honest with you. I think now is the time where, okay, we have to stop playing defense all of the time. Why are we always playing defense? I'm not talking about killing people. I'm talking about making your voices known and making your presence known.
Mm-hmm. We're not keeping up with the enemy being the left. And you say, oh, that's a terrible thing to say. I have relatives that are the left. That's your problem. Okay. And I'll be honest with you. I'm to that point in my life that if you come to a family dinner and you start talking leftist politics, I will tell you to leave my home. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're who you're related to in my family. When you come to my house, you better shut up. Because I'm not interested in dialogue with you. I'm done. Dialogue's over. I've said all I need to say. Dialogue's done. I'm done. I'm done with the dialogue. Now we really have to start outsmarting these people. And what we really need to do, we need to get our act together. And I'm not even sure who all to talk to about this. We need to get our act together and start doing what the left does. If we do it, we at least stand a chance of competing with them. But we've got to start mobilizing. We've got to start moving. We've got to get off our asses faster. Because as Doug just said, we're being very reactive when we should be more proactive. That's just the nature of the beast. And we really need to define and find ways to do this. Stay within the confines of the current laws. And I say current laws because they change all the time.
And you know, I think we had the right idea on January 6th. I really do. But I think, sadly, it was infiltrated so much by the FBI and some of the agitators that went off the rails.
They were in our ranks.
No, absolutely.
All over the country. They were in our ranks.
Yep.
And we need to do a better job of vetting.
But how do you even do that at this point? If you don't know.
It's like you have to set that line so fine that anything that comes close to violating, you're out of here. You're no longer someone we can confide in or confide with. You almost have to be that way. Your lives are on the line.
Yeah.
I don't want to die in a jail cell.
No.
That's just all there is to it. And good luck taking me there. I'm not kidding, Doug. I'm to that point in my life. You've seen the t-shirt that I wear. It says something about don't piss off old people, because the older we are, the less that life's prison is an deterrent.
That's I use that all the time.
I absolutely love that shirt.
Yeah.
I love that shirt. When I wear it, people just start laughing. It's so many people want to say that, but they won't.
Well, that's where it comes.
It comes to that point. I'll say this today, and I mean this. To secure my daughter's freedom, I'll spend the rest of my life in jail.
I don't have a problem with that.
I'll bleed out on the street to secure her future. I will. I just don't want to do it alone, folks, because I'll just be any lone man is easy prey. You know, but we've really got to get rolling. We have to. If these elections don't turn out in November with a solid conservative majority in both houses, we got a problem. Even if Congress is good and the Senate isn't, we still got a problem. We need both houses. We need to lame duck this president like he isn't already a lame duck.
Well, he's got, 29% approval rating? And the New York Times came out this morning, and they're fixing on dumping this guy. But see, this again is from the 2016 election. Mm-hmm. This is a problem that stemmed from Donald Trump's presidency. So now they got a problem because they got Mr. Potato Head there, Mr. Vegetable, along with Cackles, heels up Harris. Okay, they got a problem.
And then here's the best part, people. That's their leaders. That was the best of their party. The best they could come up with was Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Stop and think about that. That is like, I remember back when McCain was running with Palin, and I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this and I'm going, that's the best you guys can come up with.
No, that's the accepted, you know. Yeah.
But there's 350 million people in the United States, and the candidates they throw up in front of us, it's like, the hell's wrong with you people? What on what planet does this person qualify to do anything? Do you listen to Kamala Harris about inflation? Explain inflation.
It was a word salad. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I left there scratching my head. I'm like, dude, that was the vice president just said that.
Yeah.
It was like talking to a 6-year old.
And then you've got Mr. Potato Head, Joey Sixplugs over there, saying, repeat the line. Okay, people have seen this, right? I'm sure everyone knows. And reading exactly, the Ron Burgundy moment. Don't you know, guys, already he's going to read whatever's on, you put on the teleprompter. Mm-hmm. That's exactly the guy, Joe Biden. And by the way, the Hunter Biden stuff that just came out, 4chan, the iCloud. Look, we were on this before. Most of this before this came out, we have the hard drive from hell, both copies, the clean and the not so clean copy, and the deleted material. But now the iCloud was hacked by 4chan, and it shows, in addition to the perversity. And by the way, I find it interesting that Joe Biden used a pseudonym of Tom Clancy's Russian spy, Peter Henderson, as a contact in Hunter Biden's chat messages.
Why not? That's what they're doing.
Exactly.
They're absolutely involved in traitorous acts against this country.
Right. So,
and Joe Biden, here's the thing, and we've talked about this before, is what's with the double standard? If this was pull Biden's name out, put Trump in there, this place would be going bananas. Trump Jr. would be in jail.
Of course. And it's interesting that we see the attempt to project by the left. Hey, Donald Trump Jr. did the same thing. And no, he didn't. You bunch of mopes. No, he didn't.
Not even close. No. Yep. This when you look at Hunter Biden and what he's doing, Hunter Biden should be ashamed. But we certainly as a country should be ashamed that this little puke is the son of the president of the United States. They have absolutely made a sham out of the office of the United States.
Yep.
It used to be a very respected position, a very respected entity. Now it's a joke. Do you think when they show up at the G7, anybody has any respect for these pigs? Joe Biden is crap. And I have never seen this. Just this really bothered me the other night when I'm sitting here watching him sign these executive orders for abortion. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, how could a man, a human being, a father, sit here and advocate so hard to murder babies that he's signing something on his desk in the White House, the most powerful office in the world, and he's dead set on killing babies? I sat there and you think about that. That is paramount. We're not talking about some little lefty punks down here. We're talking about the president of the United States. And that's his war cry for the day. I want to kill babies. You're a pig. Next time you fall off your bike, I hope you're not wearing a helmet.
Pick his head up with forceps.
I always have to keep in mind that we have Christian listeners, and I need to shut up.
Look, Christian listeners, see, I think a lot of people believe that Christianity is a passive sport. I really believe that. And there's nowhere in my Bible where we are not allowed to fight back, fight righteously, fight indeed.
Based on abortion alone,
right?
We are justified in a fight.
We are
justified in a fight to the death. We are justified. We would be blessed by the Lord.
And I see.
Do you get that? Do you get that? That higher calling,
would
be blessed by the Lord for protecting his little creations, his babies. Those are his babies. It just makes me sick. I get so angry over this. This subject alone, I'm willing to go to battle over.
And what, right. I think people have to ask themselves why this is such a hot button issue. I think there's two components. I think the spiritual component, that being the actual murdering of the unborn, is one thing. But I think the second part of this, and Randy Taylor, you can tell me what you think. The fact that the Supreme Court is giving this decision back to the states, because everything about communism, everything about like a new world order, is a centralization of power, consolidation of power. So now they've just busted that consolidation of power up. Your thoughts on that?
I think it's fantastic. It's the way it should have been all along. In fact, I think it was Alito that said this should have never occurred,
right,
to begin with. You know, it's once again the federal government overstepping its bounds. And how many times have you heard this idiot president call us a democracy?
Oh.
That is basic school 101, politics 101. We are a republic. There's a difference between a republic and a democracy. For instance, Canada, that's a democracy, okay? But they don't have the individual provincial freedoms to do things as you do in the states.
Right.
The states can tell the federal government, get out. Get off my property.
That's correct.
Now, they're going to get hurt in funding and things like that. That they see, people don't. A lot of the federal presence at the state level is only the only reason they're there is because they're buying their way in. They give funding to the states, and the states don't want to turn down $1 billion or $10 billion or whatever it is. So they allow the federal government. I'm of the opinion, get them out. Get them out.
Amen to that.
They've outlived their usefulness.
That's
in many ways. And they've overstepped their bounds, constantly overstepped their bounds. And that, my friends, is abuse of authority. That's abuse of power. And that's what we're living in right now, is abuse of power. And nobody's doing anything about it. If the courts aren't going to do anything about it, and we can't beat them in the voting booths, guess what, folks? You're not leaving us a lot of options. So lefties, you need to pray that we win in November. Because it's the lesser of all. It's the lesser of what's going to happen.
Well, and I think, again, this is a battle not just in the United States, but the world.
Worldwide.
Yes.
And you would think that we would be taking the torch.
Yeah, you would think.
but we're not. We're looking at Dutch farmers. Or somewhere in Africa, they're protesting us.
Sri Lanka, on the other side.
Sri Lanka. Yeah. Yeah, and what did they do? They did what you do. You storm the palace.
That's right. And, gee, where's the president now? Not there.
Thank you. Long gone. I would love to see Biden on the side of a milk carton. Nobody knows what happened to the guy. You know,
along with
that's just where I'm at. I'm done. The time for talk is really running out, folks.
And with that, that's a perfect stopping point here. Randy Taylor at randytaylor@hagmanreport.com. That's where to get a hold of him. Randy, you're going to be back this week. We're going to have more talks. And
still working on the plan with the drawings there of Cremo. That's not over yet. So many variables.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's not forget about that. All right. Randy,
no.
God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Right on, brother.
All right. Randy Taylor. Hey, send him an email. randytaylor@hagmanreport.com, just like it sounds. And let him know what you think. He's going to be back this week a couple of times. Before we get to John Moore, I just want to say this, that today's episode is sponsored by Honey. Folks, if you don't have Honey, man, I'm telling you what, you're missing out. You are missing out. joinhoney.com/Hagman. That's where you need to go. So think right now, joinhoney.com/Hagman. I'm going to ask you, what's your favorite thing to shop for online? I was looking for a specific case, a true story, and I found it. All right, I found it. This is like a suitcase kind of device, okay? But it served a specific purpose. The website didn't have anything money off. I don't like to pay full price on stuff, okay? I really don't. So I was looking to use things and looking. Anyway, bottom line is this. I was able to get, I was able to save about $5, a little more than $5, on this case. It wasn't an expensive case, but it was a good one. It was exactly what I needed, and I want to thank joinhoney.com/Hagman for doing so. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is a free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and supplies the best one it finds to your cart. You know, it supports over 30,000 stores online, ranging from tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. And how it works is really simple. If you're shopping online from one of your favorite sites, when you check out, Honey button drops down. All you have to do is click apply coupons, wait a few seconds, bada bing, bada bang. If Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop, and drop they will. Again, I was able to save just north of $5 on this case. And percentage-wise, that was a pretty good savings. And I know my wife uses joinhoney.com/Hagman. She's saved a lot for clothes for my grandson. And even here at the studio, we use it for food delivery when necessary. So we have saved a lot through joinhoney.com/Hagman. You can add Honey to your iPhone too. Just enable it on Safari and you can find savings on the go. Here's what you got to do, folks. Listen carefully, because I stand behind everything I tell you, right? If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. I never recommend something I don't use. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Hagman. That is joinhoney.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. And as I always say, you will thank me later. You'll be glad you did this. Now, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. How many people know him? Show of hands, studio audience. Okay, everyone in the studio audience just stood up. Hey, one guy's clapping for John Moore. Go to thelibertyman.com. Do me a favor. Bookmark that website. And check it out. Number one, check out his daily radio broadcast. He spends a lot of time in interviewing people that know things, that know a lot of things. When he's not jumping out of airplanes or driving his TR-6 or whatever, okay, he does a lot of very interesting things. And of course, you know, he's the suave, intellectual, even-tempered guy out there. So he pays to listen to the Liberty Man That's his website, thelibertyman.com. Pays to listen to John Moore. Plus, he's got a lot of information on his website that you need to know, and, of course, products that you need to have. So, thelibertyman.com. Before I get to John, I want John to take a look at this as well. We were talking earlier about the Department of Justice. Okay. Now, John is a guy who's got oodles of homicide investigative experience, as I do. I like to think that. I'm an investigator by profession. John is as well. So together we're dangerous. Now, we don't always agree, but we have conversations. But here's what chaps my butt, okay, right now. This happened in New York City. This is the state of the Department of Injustice right now, the Department of Injustice. A bodega owner, guy that was working there. In fact, he works like 18 hours a day behind the counter. In fact, we can, I'll talk over this. We can roll this for the radio listeners. He's working one day, and this shopper comes in. It's a female, and she uses an EBT card to make a purchase. It's declined. The guy says, hey, you know what? It's declined. So she gets PO'd, calls her boyfriend or baby daddy over. And the baby daddy kind of takes off and actually physically pushes this 57-year-old bodega owner into the shelving unit behind the glass at this bodega in New York City. And people say, well, what's a bodega? I never heard of that. Well, it's like a small corner store, okay, for lack of a better term. All right, so this guy gets pushed by the mama's baby daddy. And the baby daddy makes a lot of threatening moves. And, I mean, he's bigger than this guy. He's more muscular than the owner. And he put, you know, he's in his face. He again pushes him down again. So the bodega owner stands up, and what does he do? Stabs him. In self-defense, stabs him. He happened to stab him in the jugular, in the carotid. Good shot. To that I say. But just to make sure, because the guy didn't go down, you know, right away, you do have to allow for some time for bleed out. He stabbed him 4 more times. So what happened? Did they throw a parade for getting this crap off the street? No. They arrested the bodega owner for second degree murder in New York City. I'm going to tell you something, okay? This people should be pissed off about, upset about, and we should be demanding the resignation of everyone involved in the prosecution of this man. And we should throw this man a parade, and we should stand behind this guy, because we are all owners of a bodega. If that is to be the case, we are all that man. I don't know what happened to the video, but John Moore, thelibertyman.com. I don't know if you heard about that, saw that or not, but there it is. John, how are you?
Good to be with you, as always. Yes, I've seen the video. Typically, a prosecuting attorney only files, let's back up a bit. Frequently, they charge higher because they can always reduce their charges. They can't raise their charges when they're negotiating with the defense counsel. These charges never should have been filed in the first place. Every criminal defense attorney I know that I've worked with would know that you're not going to find a jury of 12 men and women who would convict the store owner for defending his life. And that's, in fact, what he was doing. Typically, this type of structure has a tile floor over concrete. If a man's pushing you hard enough to knock you to the concrete, which he was, even though he didn't hit the concrete, he's attempting to kill you. So you're justified in using deadly force against deadly force. An adult male pushing you hard enough to knock you down is attempting to kill you. Maybe he doesn't know it, but he is. I've worked several homicides where the murder weapon was a clenched fist, where a healthy adult male hit another adult, a healthy adult male, one time with one clenched fist. The man fell down, hit his head in the concrete, and died. The deceased person would have been completely justified in using deadly force to defend his life. And that's what I teach people in my concealed carry classes, Doug, that you have a right, if not a duty, to defend your life against deadly force. That's all this store owner was doing. The prosecuting attorney, this probably was a decision made by the top person in that office, not one of the assistants, given the gravity of the situation. That prosecuting attorney needs a new job. Or maybe he needs to have an ethical complaint filed against him or her. I don't know who this person is. Do you know, Doug, if this prosecutor was supported with money by George Soros? Do you know by any chance, Doug?
The entire office was, or the office, okay. The DA. Okay. But, okay, let me correct myself. Not 57 years old, 61 years old. His name is Joseph Alba, or Jose Alba. And, yeah, it's a $250,000 bond. Let's see, wait a minute. The sum was reduced Thursday to $50,000 amid public outcry. But
well, if the bond's been reduced to $50,000, that is not consistent with first-degree murder charges any place I've ever seen.
I believe it would be the equivalent of our equivalent of second degree, whatever New York's equivalent might be, New York State. And I'm trying to remember what that is, if it's manslaughter. What did he get charged with? Go ahead. Continue, though.
So the charge is not first degree murder?
No, it was. Let me see here. Okay,
it's above manslaughter, obviously.
It's above manslaughter, below first degree. It'd be equivalent to our second degree.
Equivalent to second degree murder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Roughly.
Okay. Well, that's still wrong.
Exactly.
And a $50,000 bond is still inconsistent with second degree murder. Typically, first degree murder is typically a $1 million bond. A second degree is usually considerably less, but not $50,000. That's a lot lower than I would expect. That's kind of a side issue.
But your analysis of this is pretty interesting. Continue, please.
Right. Well, getting a conviction on a manslaughter charge would be very difficult. Very difficult. The average adult New Yorker has had it with crime. There's crime. It's a crime-ridden city. That's no secret. Very few citizens have any opportunity to do anything about crime. And when I see a store owner who is an honest citizen defending his life, they're not going to convict this guy of anything. It's just simply not going to happen.
Well, except in New York, D.C., or one of the blue strongholds, and I will add this. They put him in Rikers. And I've been in Rikers, okay, interviewing people. And that's a scary one. I think Rikers is probably the scariest place I've ever been to. And every minute I spent there, I prayed that they didn't mistake me for, you know, a prisoner, because, man, that is a hellhole that you don't want to be in.
I've heard about the story about Rikers. Yeah. Was there an alternative place for them to be sent other than Rikers? I don't know.
That I don't know based on the jurisdiction. I don't know. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, has the... store owner posted bond yet? Do we know?
Yes, he was out last Thursday. So he was in a week. All right. Oh, he was in a week in Rikers for a week. I'm looking at this. You know, I wish, what happened to fact-based reporting? It doesn't exist anymore, but go. Yeah, he was.
Well, I know. And all the time, whenever I'm reading a story on the internet, I look for the author of the story. I look for the date it was published. Of course, who published it first? I look for secondary sources. Hopefully I'll find one, or footnotes, one or the other. Rarely do I see those things anymore. Even the date of publication seems to be missing much, if not most of the time, which is really not acceptable. This store owner, he should have a top-notch criminal defense attorney. That's what he needs. That's what he deserves. It's going to be expensive. We're probably looking at, I don't know what that would be in New York City, probably more than $20,000, probably a lot more. And unfortunately, and that's money that once that's spent, it's spent. He can't get it back from the city for wrongful prosecution, I'm aware of. Are you aware of any possibility of him getting that money back?
In this case, because of the high profile nature, yes. But I think in most cases, no. Because I'm involved in a case right now in Erie County where, $100,000, you know, just to retain an attorney in a criminal case that's not a murder case. The defendant will never see that money ever. That's gone.
Well, that's gone. That's usually money that's just gone. That's typically the case.
Yeah. So, one more thing about
this. We need to keep, we've seen multiple, in my hometown, St. Louis, we've got a prosecutor who received Soros money for her campaign. We have turmoil in the St. Louis City Police Department because of what this woman's doing. Regarding criminal prosecutions, and police officers know they can't trust their own prosecutor. That's not a good situation, Doug.
Man, you know, yeah. And I heard about that, and that's up close and personal to you, but the entire criminal, our entire Department of Justice, whether it's just almost every locale, at least blue locale, on a county and state level is pretty well cooked. The Department of Justice, as a whole, in as far as our nation is concerned, is a joke. No one, and you know, so you've got stuff going on there, okay? Which, what is this, all Soros backed crap? Is that what this is?
Well, it seems to be like the other day we talked about the common denominator between these mass shooters was psychotropic drug prescriptions. The common denominator between these out-of-control Marxist prosecutors is Soros funding for their political campaigns. That needs to end. The ability for a outright communist to contribute money for election campaigns really needs to end. I don't know what it would take to do it, Doug, but that's exactly what needs to happen nationwide. It's wrecking our country, literally wrecking our country.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the first segment we were talking about the fact that you've got people who enter the Capitol building invited in by police still rotting away in a prison in Washington, D.C. Not one Muppet from Congress, aside from making a TV spectacle, has done anything about it, meaningful about it. Not one patriot has done anything meaningful about it. Of course, what the hell are we going to do, right? Aside from storming the prison and breaking them out, which, you know, that to me, that's an option. That's on the table to me. But you know, this is a state of our justice system, and it's a state of chaos, which is designed by these leftist maniacs. We've been infiltrated in academia, in politics, in every aspect of our society by communists and these Soros wannabes and Soros minions. Go ahead.
Well, Doug, you're absolutely right, and the communists have been very successful in achieving their goals. The head of the Communist Party stopped running for president because he said the Democratic Party was already carrying out the complete agenda of the Communist Party. So he felt no need to run for president anymore. And when you hear the Gus Hall, I believe his name.
Yeah, yeah.
When you hear the head of the American Communist Party making a statement like that, that's all the evidence I need. It really is all the evidence I need. Now, in addition to the communists carrying out the agenda of the Communist Party, we have too many Republicans either staying silent or cooperating in their votes. So it's a combination of the two that's wrecking our country, along with the culture war, which we've lost the culture war. We've lost the war to keep education patriotic and accurate, historically accurate. We've lost a lot, Doug. I don't know if we can recover it. We may have to go through a great cleansing to recover what's been lost, Doug. And that would not be a pleasant experience, but we may be left with no alternative. Now, I'll do a segue here. There's a headline on Steve Quayle's website this morning. Lisa Haven did a report about the Communist Chinese military, the People's Liberation Army, staging troops in Mexico. Now, I haven't I've been too busy to watch it. Wait a second.
Where have I heard this before? Who has talked about this before? Maybe John Moore, folks. Maybe John Moore's been talking about this. Go ahead.
Right. Well, I have been. I've been talking about this for 20 years. But it's more evidence of what we already know. I like to mention we like to hear firsthand examples. My friend, Command Sergeant Major Dan Page, we've got an interview with him on my website. He got on a Black Hawk helicopter. This is 17, 18 years ago. He got on a Black Hawk helicopter at MacDill Air Force Base, which is Special Operations Command in MacDill Air Force Base in Florida, SOCOM. He got on a Black Hawk helicopter. The warrant officer, pilot, had the latitude and longitude provided by the Pentagon of the Russian military base in Mexico that they flew to. And Command Sergeant Major Dan Page flew that Russian Russian military base, got off the helicopter, met the Russian officers and enlisted men, had a visit, talked about whatever they talked about, then returned to MacDill Air Force Base across the Gulf of Mexico. This has been going on for decades. Multiple reports from multiple reliable sources, and they don't do this for the fun of it, Doug. Moving thousands of soldiers, their equipment, their trucks, their tanks, their artillery, all the weapons of war, halfway around the planet, setting up bases, is incredibly expensive. You don't do that as a training mission. You do that because you're preparing for an invasion. That's the only reason you would do it. Now, of course, the Pentagon knows about this. That's a given. If John Moore knows about this in remote Davidsville, Missouri, which doesn't even have a gas station or a store anymore, then of course the Pentagon knows. That's a given. So, Doug, we're on our own. And I used an example this morning about why we can't rely on our military anymore. I was interviewing my friend Andrew on the air. Andrew was an officer in the United States Army, and I asked Andrew the following question. I said, Andrew, would they allow you to be an officer in the U.S. Army if you were 5'2" and weighed 105 pounds? He says, well, no. And I said, of course not. I said, Andrew, it was 9 o'clock in the morning. I said, Andrew, it's 9 o'clock Central. It's 10 a.m. at West Point, United States Military Academy, on the 11th day of July, 2022. We have young women, 5'2", 105 pounds, wearing uniforms because they are cadets at the United States Military Academy right now on this Monday morning. But if you were a man, 5'2", 105, you wouldn't be allowed to be a cadet at West Point on the 11th day of July, 2022. Why is that, Doug? Because somebody 5'2" and 105 pounds has the size and strength of a 12-year-old boy. That's why we don't allow men, 5'2", 105 pounds, to be officers in the Army. But we have way too many women. In fact, I would say all women should not be in anything except the Medical Corps, where they've done an excellent job for more than a century, using the skills that women are trained to have in the Medical Corps. But we have become the laughing stock of all other militaries, not just the Russians and Chinese, but our NATO allies. We have NATO conferences where the officers get together, the senior enlisted get together, and they talk about their training, they compare notes about weapons and ammunition and tactics. And our officers and our men have to hang their heads in shame because of what we're doing, bringing women into the Corps. Doug, this is not acceptable. National defense cannot and should not be politically correct. I suggested about a year ago that anybody wanting to be in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, other than the Medical Corps, should be able to open a jar of pickles. You know, Doug, most women don't have enough strength to open a jar of pickles. Did you know that? and I did that in jest.
This is something, but boy, I'll tell you what, my mind's not right today. Something else came into my mind when you said that. But you know, Okay, so look, I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to toss a name out to everyone in the crowd. Jessica Lynch. Does that name ring a bell to you?
Well, a friend of mine, her son was one of the Marines on the rescue mission for Jessica Lynch.
Right.
Now, let's refresh people's memory.
Go ahead.
And Jessica Lynch was in a non-combat duty. She was in a convoy in Iraq. The convoy got lost, apparently, in wherever they were. They came under fire. The man who should be given at least a Bronze Star was the male Spec 4, Specialist 4, who held up the Iraqi army for I don't know how long by himself until he was finally captured. Jessica Lynch was captured, and she was injured.
Yep.
She was taken to an Iraqi hospital where she was treated with respect and courtesy. The Americans mounted a rescue mission which involved the Army and the Marines. The Marines were assigned to form a perimeter on the hospital. The Army, I don't know if they were Rangers or who they were, they went into the hospital and rescued Jessica Lynch, who was being given proper medical care with respect and courtesy by the Iraqi medical personnel that were there.
So, yeah, and that happened. So she was captured March 23rd, 2003, 19 years old. Think about that. First American prisoner of war, first woman to be rescued since World War II, and that happened in 2003. She's 40 years old right now, suffering from PTSD. She's a school teacher. I believe she lives in West Virginia, but the fact of the matter is, really?
She never should have been there.
Really? Exactly. Exactly.
She never should have been there.
If that had been my daughter, I would have kicked Bush's ass. Yeah, just out of principle. Okay? Or somebody's ass. Because what are you doing sending my daughter over there? And of course, my daughter had more sense not to.
I've read General Wainwright took over Corregidor when he was in command of Corregidor, the U.S. Army. Facility there in the Philippines when General MacArthur left to go to safe haven. And in his story about what happened at Corregidor, he said he never would have surrendered if it wasn't for the 300 nurses that were inside the facility. I mean, because it was just too dangerous. He was concerned that the women would be injured and killed. And that's why General Wainwright surrendered at Corregidor. He had the wherewithal to continue fighting. He had the food, the ammunition, the water, the men, and he would have continued fighting if it wasn't for his desire to protect the women. I dated the daughter of a Philippine soldier who was in the Bataan Death March. And great guy, tough guy. I was at Fort Bragg at the time, and he was a drill instructor in the U.S. Army. He left the Philippine Army, came to the United States, was raising a family. And I watched him march his basic training troops past where I was. Doug, their M16s all had fixed bayonets with no scabbards while they were marching. Now, in case you don't know, that is highly unusual because it's considered too dangerous to do so. But I knew watching these young troops, Vietnam was still going on, of course, this was 1968, that they would come out of that basic training as alpha male warriors because their drill instructor was a World War II veteran who had been in a Bataan Death March. We need alpha male warriors to be officers in the Army. We don't need women to be officers in the Army. We need alpha male warriors who can lead men in the battle and have the respect of the men that the officer is leading. Now, men pretend to have respect for female officers in combat. That's all they're doing, is pretending. And it's unfortunate. You know, we could put there's been attempts to put women into football, for example. My grandson, my oldest grandson, his high school football team had at least one woman on it. And
Marvelous.
She never set foot on the field during a game, ever set foot on the field. I was present during the last game, and her parents were so proud of her that their daughter wore a football uniform. And I asked my grandson what he thought about this young woman, and he just says, she can't run. This was a really big woman. She weighed about 200, 220 pounds. And I watched her attempt to run. It was pretty pitiful. But women have no place being in a football uniform, just like they have no place being in combat, Doug. And
wow, are you patriarchal, you know, in your thinking?
Well, I am, and no apologies. Wow. The Israeli army had women in combat in 1947 because they had no choice. They had their backs against the wall, yes, surrounded by 10 to 1.
Yeah.
Since then, the Israeli army has done the right thing. They keep the women away from combat. That's what every modern military does. Even the army we consider the most barbaric and horrendous, the North Korean army, even they don't put women in the front lines.
Right. Right. Yet here we are. Our military today seems more concerned with inclusion. I'm sorry, ladies. Look, I have more respect for you to send you out with a you know, AR or a M1, whatever rifle, and put you on the front lines of battle. I've got more respect for you. I think women have a greater role to serve than go out there and fight. Now, if you want to, I don't know what to say to that, but as John said, physically, you're at a disadvantage. You are. I mean, it's just a matter of science. Shouldn't we follow the science? Oh, no, that's right. We're not following science. We're following authority. We're following...
Well, let's go back to West Point.
Yes, go ahead.
A friend of mine, he was a captain in Special Forces when I was back in the Special Forces in the Reserves. Several years before, about 8 or 9 years before, he was at West Point as a senior cadet when the very first 18-year-old young lady showed up as cadets. This was in the mid-70s, about 1976, give or take a year.
Mm-hmm.
They did a nationwide search to find the brightest, most highly motivated, listen carefully, the most athletic 18-year-old young woman they could find. And that's who they had there, okay, for the first female cadets. Doug, not a single one of these young ladies could do what's called the order of arms with their M14 rifles, especially present arms or inspection arms was the specific move that not a single one of these healthy, athletic young ladies could do. Inspection arms involves picking up the M14 and holding it in a certain position across the body so that the inspecting officer can look at it to see if it's clean. That requires the soldier to push the bolt back with the right hand while they hold it with the left hand and have their thumb go over the top of the rifle to depress the little button that holds the bolt back.
Right.
Not, and you see, and if you watch the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, they all have M14s and they all do inspection arms at the changing of the guard each time. Just before the soldier hands over the rifle to be inspected for cleanliness and function, the soldier pushes that bolt back with their right hand and reaches over with their thumb to push that little button.
Yep.
And you can watch that anytime you want.
Yep. And I was there. I watched that in person, but go ahead.
Now, that's happening right now at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier every day, 24 hours a day.
Yep.
And right now, on the 11th day of July in 2022, there's female cadets at West Point, New York, who can't do that with a fully functional, normal M14. So what did they do, Doug? Now, here's the dilemma. Congress required the young women to be at West Point. The commandant can't change that. The rules and protocols of West Point require all cadets to train with and use the M14. That can't be changed. The soldiers themselves, the female soldiers, cadets, can't be changed. They can't get any stronger. They're already top athletes. That leaves one thing left to be changed, Doug. That's the M14. Now, the M14 being used on the 11th day of July, 2022, as you and I are speaking, has been modified. The ones issued to the women have been modified to make the spring weak enough that the female cadets can overcome it with their right hand.
What's that do to the performance of the rifle?
It's no longer a rifle. It's a display piece. It can no longer be safely shot.
There you go.
It can't. So these young ladies are pretending to do what the young men are doing. Yep. And everybody knows it. All the cadets know it. All the instructors know it. The commandant of West Point knows it, that the young ladies are pretending to do what the young men do.
Well, it's a theater.
Now, that's not acceptable. That is not acceptable.
No,
if a young man was that weak, he'd be sent home to his mother.
As well you should.
He would not be issued. He would not be issued a rifle that he could do what the women do if he was that weak.
But see, okay, now, people, I think, instinctively, hopefully, know this or know that there's something wrong here. What are we going to do about it? See, here's the thing. Because we are right now, we're in World War III.
That particular matter comes out of the House Armed Services Committee.
All right.
Specifically. The various military academies, Air Force and Navy and the Army, what they do is dictated by the House Armed Services Committee, which, of course, is run by communists.
Of course.
It has been for way too long. So that answered the answer to your question. They are politically correct. They care more about being politically correct than they do about defending the nation. Otherwise, they wouldn't have cadets at West Point the size that I was when I was 12 years old.
Yep.
That would not be allowed.
Yep, I agree.
It would not be allowed.
And here we are. We're facing it like you point. You paint. Look, I got no problem with somebody with a female at home, and the man goes out to fight, especially on our own turf, and telling his wife, daughter, whatever, hey, back me up. But you're not going on the front line. You fight when you have to. I'm okay with that. But the guys, the men should be out there fighting. But again, so we.
Even barefoot peasants that don't have a written language send the men out to fight, not the women.
Yeah, exactly. How are we going to fare when things go hot? And I believe they will. I don't know what your thoughts are, but you know what? We can't endure this chaos for much longer, I don't believe. This chaos, and that's exactly what this is, this cratering of the world. Whether it's Sri Lanka, whether it's the Dutch in the Netherlands, whether it's here in the United States with everything that's going on. I mean, what are we going to do?
It's all by design, Doug.
It is all by design. But you know what?
It is all by design.
We have a choice to make. And this is, I opened the show up. You got a choice to make. You're either going to be you're either going to fight or you're going to roll over and play dead, in which case they're going to have their way with you. And, you better pick a side right now, which side you're on. You're on the side of...
Well, our listeners are all on the right side, on the side of the U.S. Constitution.
I believe that.
And basic Christian Western values. That's the side that almost all our listeners are on. Doug, I was in Indianapolis over the weekend for Ed Griffin's Red Pill Expo.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that. Go ahead.
Well, it was a great event. I met a lot of our viewers who watch you and I every Monday. They were very complimentary of the shows that you do, the shows that you and I do together. And they were happy to see me and shake my hand. I wish you could have been there, Doug. It was a great event. Ed Griffin was there in person, of course. The Red Pill Expo before this, almost all the presenters, including Ed Griffin, got sick. Ed is still not fully recovered. He's recovered enough to travel by road from California to Indianapolis, which has to be approaching 3,000 miles. But it was great to see Ed. He was in great spirits. He was just as sharp mentally as ever. And it looks like I'll be a speaker at the next Red Pill event, which is supposed to be tentatively in Salt Lake City in November. And there has not been a date or a venue selected yet. But it looks like I'll be there, Doug.
Okay.
And you would have been right at home there.
I'm sure.
With the men and women, these are our people, Doug.
Yeah.
The men and women listening and watching right now are the same people that attend the Red Pill events. And Doug, I would love to see you be a speaker there also, and And if you'd like to be a speaker, I would do anything I could to help you do that.
You know, frankly, I'm not that great at public speaking. I'd love to be able to be there and to be serve in a supporting role of the great speakers and the great information that they provide. What was your takeaway from that, from this latest Red Pill Expo? What was your?
Well, the information was very, very up to date. The vendors were focused on three things: technology, health, and updates on what's going on. John Birch Society had a nice display. Of course, Ed Griffin's people had a nice display of books and videos, both. And for me, it's an education to get up to speed on the latest and greatest of what's going on, to meet people. I met one of our listeners, Doug, from Belize, a very nice lady who lives in Belize, an American expat. Another gentleman from the Czech Republic who grew up in London. he was quite a character. People from all over the world who watch Doug Hagman and myself on Mondays. I watch a lot of Doug's shows, listen to my show. It's a gathering of like-minded people that is a very special event, a very rare event, quite frankly, to be around hundreds and hundreds of people that basically all know and understand the same thing, Doug.
What are their thoughts collectively about what's going to happen next? I mean, you know, people, that's a question I get all the time. Now what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen next? What do you think in terms of this green, great reset, green agenda, new world order?
Oh, did you hear what the European Union did last week?
Tell me.
They declared nuclear power and fossil fuels as green energy.
Oh,
now you can't make this up, Doug.
Yeah.
You know,
this
Thornburg woman, she's just all in a tizzy. And if we were talking privately, I would be more descriptive. But
how dare you? Yeah. Okay. Yes.
To make that kind of statement from the European Union, that tells me they've lost.
Well,
they've lost. Now, up until recently, I don't know if it's changed. One of our listeners, he lives in Spain. He says, John, if I put a solar panel on the roof of my home in Spain, I'll be committing a crime.
Wait, what?
That's what he told me. He says if he puts a solar panel on his home in Spain, he'd be committing a crime because it's illegal in Spain to put a solar panel on a roof of your home.
Okay.
Well, it takes away control. They want the power to be coming from them, from the people in control. Regardless, Doug, the energy crisis in Europe is a direct result of the very, very wrong policies to attempt to hurt Vladimir Putin. All they're doing is making Russia and Vladimir richer with these policies by cutting off oil and gas supplies from Russia. That's all they're doing is, instead of hurting Russia, instead of hurting Vladimir Putin, they're making Russia and Vladimir Putin richer because it's an international market. And I understand some of these petroleum fossil fuel products are being sold to India, who in turn are selling them back to Europe. Isn't that special?
So, yeah, I mean, none of this makes sense unless you look at it through the lens of these globalists who want to and intend to destruct our way of life. And, you know, the climate crisis is on the heels of the pandemic, which is on the heels or maybe in the shadow of an economic crisis. And you know, all of this. So everything is interconnected that I see taking place. And you're right. It's absolutely mind-boggling where you've got train cars of coal being reclassified as a kind of a green energy solution in Europe. I don't know whether you saw that, people saw that picture or not, but it boggles the mind to think that people can be so flippin' stupid on the left. It really does. But go ahead.
Well, they are. a friend of mine, when he was in the Missouri State House, later became a congressman, he says, John, when we have a committee, any committee that deals with technology, we have no Democrats. It's always Republicans. He says the Democrats stay away from anything involving technology because they don't get it. They can't comprehend the basic premises being discussed and being talked about in the Missouri House of Representatives and Missouri Senate to do with technology. And that fits hand in glove with what you just said, Doug.
Yeah, yeah. It's beyond my comprehension to think that we have chosen. John, I
you don't have to be terribly bright to be elected to Congress. I like to go back to the congressman, the U.S. congressman, who was in a sworn testimony in a hearing, in a committee hearing, expressed his concern that Guam would turn over if too many buildings were built.
Right, Hank Johnson, I believe it was.
And how can you be that stupid and be elected to the United States Congress? Well, obviously you can be. And the person under oath giving the testimony, I have to give him credit because he didn't, you know, do what should have been done, which was call the congressman a complete idiot.
Yeah, I would have loved to have been there and just I'd have loved to have been on the questioning side of that.
And the rest of the people and the whole everybody in that room should have broke out into wild laughter at this question.
He should have been mocked relentlessly and still he's still serving and we should mock him every chance we get because are you stupid? And don't tell me it was a
joke. How many more? The question is, how many more Hanks are there?
Yeah.
Dozens?
Yeah.
Is there 100? I don't know. But people with that low level of intelligence, that low level of mental ability are drafting and voting on laws for this country? Excuse me? How is that possible? Well, it is obviously possible. If you get enough money to back you, you can become a U.S. congressman. It doesn't matter how stupid you are.
And don't you... That goes back to the fact that we've got 535 sitting Congress people that congressmen, women, whatever, that really...
Well, 100 senators and 435 in the U.S. House.
And thank you for that clarification. And the one thing I saw, one running, New Hampshire state senator running for a congressional position, twerking in the sand, you know, in a thong bikini with... You know, ham hocks shaking on both sides. It was just an absolutely incredible scene. But is this the best we got? Or have we just lost our collective minds?
Well, from that congressional district, that's the best they got. It's called twerking. This sitting Congress, she was not a U.S. rep. She was a state rep.
Right. You get running for...
is she running for Congress?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. I knew she was a state rep in California. Got past me.
I thought it was New Hampshire, but regardless, you know, yeah, it's just you got to be out of your flipping tree to do that, and you think that's a because go back to the 80s. Remember Gary Hart and the monkey business and Jennifer Flowers or not Jennifer Flowers. Whoever
I mean, he got photographed on the boat.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I mean,
he thought he was in private, and there was a long range camera that.
And that tank, and that tanked his presidential campaign. So
it did.
And look how far we've fallen since those times. And what happened to gravitas? What happened to decorum? What happened to civility? What happened to any of this?
Well, I'm right there with you, Doug.
You know what? I can't believe how quickly time flies when you're on here. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Make sure you bookmark his website. We have about 45 seconds, John. So,
well, I have waiting in the wings, the mother of one of the children murdered at Sandy Hook. Her and her husband sued Alex Jones and prevailed, of course. There's still a lot of people, including many of our listeners, who think no children died at Sandy Hook. That's a fantasy.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'll be interviewing that mother soon, I hope. There's been some legal issues to be dealt with, but I hope to have her on soon for an exclusive interview. And
that's good.
Yes. So we'll have
To what end? I mean, what do you hope to get? I'm just curious. In like 15 seconds, what do you hope to accomplish by that?
Well, I hope to dispel the fantasy that no children died at Sandy Hook.
And well, yeah.
Have people understand a bit of reality here.
Yes, but that does not preclude the fact that this could have been something totally misrepresented.
Well, there was more to it, but yeah. The children did die.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
Thank you, Doug.
All right. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Make sure you bookmark his website. Folks, gots to go, man. Gots to go. Good night.